This is the Kiddushas Pshuto Shel Mikra, which was authored by Harav Yehuda Cooperman, Zichron Levracha. He passed away, I think, about 4 months ago. I was at the Beis Avil, I remember. And he's a major fan of the Sfarno, Rav Avadya Sfarno. And he wants to analyze a parsha in the Torah here based on the insights of the Sfarno. Have you all heard of the Sfarno? Yeah, he lived, I think, about 5 centuries ago. Now, if you have the big blue chumashim, you want to turn to page 410. And if you don't have the big blue chumashim, you could mamash open up a siddur, because you'll be familiar with these psukim that we recite them on a daily basis in the Karbanos of Shachris. So on page 410, which is the beginning of Perek Chav Ches, the Sfarno notices something that's very interesting. So again, Rabosa, as introduction, I just want to tell you up front that we are learning this together. This has got to be a chabura. This is not a shir. This is a communal learning session. Okay, then? And there's an essay here by Rav Cooperman, and we're going to try to see if we could appreciate it. Are we all on board? Everybody ready?
Yep.
Okay, takeoff time. So, Tzavis B'nei Yisrael, V'yamart Aleihem. Now, this parsha is what's called the parsha of the Tmidim, the Korban Tamid. How many times daily did they bring the Korban Tamid?
Twice.
Once in the morning and once in the evening, so to speak, meaning at the end of the day. So the Korban Tamid opened up the Beis HaMikdash in the morning and closed the Beis HaMikdash in the same afternoon. Now look what the Torah tells us about the Korban Tamid. He says we need 2 kvasim, right? 2 little lambs, I guess you could say. That's in Pasuk Gimel. And there are other requirements in terms of the kvasim, what they have to look like, how old they are, and so forth and so on. And then the Torah in Pasuk Dalit says, "Esakeves achad taseba boker." So we took and we set aside. We designated 2 kvasim. One was brought by boker, and then the keves hashini bein harbaim. That's called the Torah shel bein harbaim. Now the Torah says that these 2 kvasim, meaning these 2 tmidim, have to be accompanied by what? So that's Pasuk Hey. What is going to accompany these 2 karbanos? If you look in Pasuk Hey, it says it's what's called soles lemincha. There's a certain karban mincha that has to accompany both the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel bein arbayim. And the nature of this mincha is that it's kind of like a liquidy substance, because it's not just soles, it's not just flour, but it's blua b'shemen kosis. That means it is, you add oil to this mixture, to this flour. So when you mix the flour and the oil, you get yourself a mincha. The Torah tells you exactly the shear, the measurement of that karbon mincha. It's got to be what's called revia sahin. And by the way, where was this mincha placed with the shemen? Into what? Anybody know what that's called? It's a generic term. It's called a kli sharis, right? And a kli sharis in this case for a liquid, because there were different categories of a kli sharis. There were kli sharis that were dedicated for solid substances, and others for liquid substances.
It was the same as the dam, as the blood.
It would have the same din as a dam. In other words, just like there are certain kalim that are makadish the dam, because the kli sharis is dedicated for a liquid substance in the case of dam, so too that same kli could be used for being makadish a mincha, because the mincha is blu l'b'shemen. Since it's blu l'b'shemen, it has the status of a mashke, not a yovish, not something dry. Now, what the Sfarno does is, I mean, he doesn't do it this way, the way I'm doing it, but he skips Pasuk Vav. He doesn't do that. I'm just for a pedagogical purpose, I'm saying let's skip Pasuk Vav for a minute. Bracket Pasuk Vav. Because if you skip over to Pasuk Zion, then you're going to introduce a whole nother element of an accompaniment. Meaning, so far we've spoken about a mincha, okay, a mincha. So the mincha accompanies the tamid, which is a keves. So you have the keves, and that's going to be the main karban tamid. That's called the karban ola. And that has to be accompanied by a mincha. So if we didn't read pasuk, Zion, right, then we would get the impression, but it would be a misimpression, that the karban tamid needs to be accompanied by what? One or two things. Only one thing. Because so far, before we get to pasuk Zion, all the Torah stipulates is the mincha, which was solas blua b'shemen. But in truth, pasuk Zion is going to introduce a second accompaniment. What's that called? Look at the first word in pasuk Zion.
Niskah.
In plural, how would you call it?
Nisachim.
So in addition to the menachos, which would accompany respectively the Torah Shel Shachar and the Torah Shel Bayim, the Torah is now going to tell us that we have to accompany the karban tamid with, not just with a mincha, but also with a nesach, in plural nesachim, one nesach for the morning and one for the evening. The nesach was made up of what?
Yeah.
Of yayin. So what bothers the mind of the Sefarno is that there's another pasuk that wedges itself in between the mincha and the nesachim, and that's pasuk vav. Take a look at pasuk vav. It says, Olas tamid ha'asuya bahar Sinai. Okay, now we have to figure out what's going on here with Har Sinai. After all, the mitzvah of the Shnei Tmidim, which is a daily mitzvah, that's going to take us from the Mishkan, which existed in many different forms and places and locations throughout Jewish history, through the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, which was built by Shlomo Mel, through the Midbay Sheni at the time of Ezra Nehemiah, until, does anybody know on what date, I mean that's not relevant to Hashia today, but at what date on the Hebrew calendar did they finally terminate the Tamid? Shivasa B'Talmud, right? 2 days ago, right? Which is really 3 days ago. But anyway, on Shivasa B'Talmud, that was the last day that we saw the Karban Tamid. So the Karban Tamid is not Asuya b'Har Sinai, so to speak. It's got nothing to do with Har Sinai. Har Sinai is a very nice experience, a very momentous occasion when we accepted the Torah. But as far as the Karbanos Tmidim, which are accompanied by Menachos and Nesachim, that has nothing to do with Har Sinai. So the question that we have to raise here is, what is this Asuya b'Har Sinai? And even if we decipher this code of what Asuya b'Har Sinai is referring to, we're going to have to ask a second question. Why is that wedged in between the Mincha and the Nesachim, the Menachos and the Nesachim? Now we have another question Rav Avadia Sfarno asks. What's the end of Pasuk Vav? This is a very famous phrase that appears throughout Sefer Vayikra in all Karbanos. What's that called? At the end of Pasuk Vav? Don't only answer it once. I can't hear so many voices. The end of Pasuk Vav. Do you have it on page 410 if you have the blue chumashim? I always encourage you to take the big blue chumash so we'll all be on the same page. Excellent. Reach Nichoach. This is called Reach Nichoach. The Gemara in Zvachim says that the Kohen, when he brings the Karban, and he has four different avodos, he has to have lishma, he has to have in mind many different things, six different things, the Mishnah says. One of them is called Reach Nichoach. Reach Nichoach really means, again, I'm not going to get into philosophical discussions, but it means that it's l'raton. It means this is what Hashem wants. God wants us to bring a Reach Nichoach. And the Reach Nichoach concept even dates back to the Karbanos of Noach. Even at the time of Noach, when he came out of the Teva, it says Reach Nichoach. Reach Nichoach is like a catchphrase, a refrain that repeats itself over and over again. But the funny thing is that in order to achieve this high point, we'll call it the pinnacle, called Reach Nichoach, if I have the Seder HaPsukim the way we see it here in Parshas Pinchas, then at what point do I achieve Reach Nichoach? Which again, that's the pinnacle.
What do the words mean?
No. Reach Nichoach means a wonderful aroma. Okay, again, it's a more spiritual aroma, but
A satisfying aroma.
At what point? Again, this is my question. This is not a rhetorical question.
It must be after the mixture of the mincha, but before the libation.
Excellent. So what you have is A, B, and C. You've got number one, the kvasim. Okay, that's the Iker Tamid, the Karban. Then you have the Menachos. and then C, you have the Nesachim. At what point would it seem, according to the Seder HaPsukim, that we achieve the Reich Nicha? And that's what Don says, in between B and C. In other words, it has to be that I've achieved both A and B. I've brought the Keves, that's the Iker Tomei, the Korban Zevach. Then I've brought the Nesachim as an accompaniment. I haven't yet brought what? The Niske Yayin. And I've already achieved, after A and B, that I already brought the Mincha to accompany the Zevach, I've achieved Reach Nicha. So, you know, Rav Vadya, you know, Svarno wants to know what's going on over here. You know, we're perplexed enough by the Olas, by the Pasuk that says, Ha'olas Tomin Asuya Bar Sinai. That's challenging enough. But why is the Torah... describe the achievement of the pinnacle here, which is called Reach Nichoach, at the point in which he's brought the Menachos, but he hasn't yet brought the Nesachim. And he claims that that the only time the Torah says Reach Nichoach after the Nesachim, meaning after he finally reaches the pinnacle and completes the process with number C, which is the Niske Yayin, is only when we get to the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Because the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim completes the whole process. So there's one Reach Nichoach, which the Torah seems to present in the Tamid Shel Shachar. And that Reach Nichoach is achieved even without the Nesachim. But when is the Torah going to finally reach the complete, perfect Reach Nichoach? That's only going to be after the Keves Hasheni, which is the Keves of Bein Arbayim, and then there's going to be a Reach Nichoach. That's Pasuk Ches, if you take a look at the bottom of your page. So it says, Ves Keves Hasheni Tasem Bein Arbayim, etc., etc. And then it says, Ishe Reach Nichoach Lashem.
But now here it says, Bein Arbayim, Kemenchad Boger, Uknis, Uknis Ko Tasa Yishev. So here it has
everything.
The
Nesach. He's got all three.
Right.
A, B, and C.
And then Yishev.
Correct. So there's an Yishev Reach Nichoach Hashem with A plus B without C, and that's reflected in Pasuk Vav. And then he has another Yishev Reach Nichoach Hashem, which requires not just A and B, meaning the Karban, the Zemach of Keves, and B, the Minchas. Soul as blue of a Shemin, but also it has C, and that's what Gershon's pointing out very well. It has also Kinisko, which is the Nesach Niske Yayin, and then after we achieve this, the whole picture, and the whole picture means two things. Number one, it means we've also brought the second Talmud, meaning the Keves Shel Bein Arbayim, and we've brought also, in addition to the Menachos, the Nesachim, then there's another Ishe Reach Nichoach Hashem. So if I could use brisket terminology here, I would say that Tzvei Dinim. Like there are two Dinim here in Reach Nichoach Hashem. There's one Reach Nichoach Hashem which is achieved even before we get to the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and even before we brought the Nesachim, and that's the Reach Nichoach Hashem in Pasuk Vav, and there's a second Din of Reach Nichoach Hashem in Pasuk Ches, which is after A, we've also brought the Nesachim, and B, we've brought the Keves Shel Bein Arbayim, and that's the total pinnacle, and that's Reach Nichoach Hashem.
Perhaps Vav, Pasuk Vav, starting with Sinai, is to recognize, as we started, all this requirement is because we got the Torah on Sinai. And...
Wait, can I stop you for a minute, if you don't mind? Are you saying to me that when it says in Pasuk Vav, Olas Tamid Hasuya Bar Sinai, it's referring to Kabbal Satorah?
Yeah.
Now, how do you read that into the words? I'm sorry to be challenging, but I'm only here as the defense attorney on behalf of the Svarna. You know, so I'm not. It's not that I'm fighting with you. I'm trying to explain.
Give me the language in English.
It says the following. I'll read it to you in Hebrew, and then I'll translate it into English. Olas Tamid, meaning this carbon, which is called the carbon Tamid. Ha'asuya b'Har Sinai, which was manufactured, if you will, which was created at Har Sinai. So we're not talking about Kabbalah Satorah, we're talking about the Karban Ola.
Sinai is where we got the Torah.
No, but where was the Ola at Har Sinai? I'm just quizzing you. No. Does anybody know which parsha in the Torah will tell us that they brought a Karban Ola at Har Sinai?
All the requirements
the heads,
for
the heads of the tribes
are
required to bring someone.
Well, the heads of the tribes is way after Kabbalah Satorah, but I'm going back in history to the point of Kabbalah Satorah. I'm testing you to see if you've learned Parshas Mishpatim, because I assume if you learned Parshas Pinchas, you've already You've already accomplished Parshas Mishpatim. So let's open up for a sec without losing the place to Parshas Mishpatim. And that's Shmos Chav Dalet. Okay? And I'll show you the Karban Ola. Okay? Okay, it should be on page 188. Let's see if I'm right.
Which paragraph in...
Okay, I'll give me a minute just to find it, and I'll try to show you what happened at Har Sinai. It says the following. Just give me a second. Oh, here it is. This is Chaf Dalet, chapter 24, mm-hmm. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. It's on page 188 in the big blue Chumashim. Mm-hmm. And it says the following. This all took place right before Har Sinai. According to Rashi's Shita, this took place on the 4th of Sivan. Then there was a day break in which they prepared themselves for Kabbalah Satorah, for the actual, you know, the Aseres HaDibros. When were the Aseres HaDibros actually given? On what date? The 6th of Sivan. So now we're on the 4th of Sivan. And this is the beginning of the process of Kabbalah Satorah. And the Torah says, Vayalu Olos. Okay, now take that word Olos. And plug it, again, without losing the place here, plug it back into page 410. And here it says, Olas Tamid Hasuya Bar Sinai. So the Torah here, in Parshas Pinchas, is referring to the Ola that was brought at Har Sinai. Which Ola was brought at Har Sinai, I asked you. And the answer is right here. Again, my finger is on the word Olos. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim at Har Sinai. Now, those karbonos of Olos that were brought, again, you have to know who these Narei B'nai Yisrael are. They were the agents to bring, again, because it's very complicated at this point. We're not exactly sure who would do the Avoda. Was it the Bechorim? You know, initially, who did the Avoda? Before the Kohen. The Bechorim, like the firstborn. Later on, they were demoted because they participated in what terrible sin? Which, again, was 2 days ago. That's the sin of the Egel. And they were replaced by those who did not, in Parshas Baloscha, who did not worship the Egel. Who were those?
The
Levim and the Kohanim. And therefore, back at the time of Har Sinai, on the 4th of Sivan, right, the 4th of Sivan, that momentous 4th of Sivan, they brought through these Narei B'nai Yisrael, whoever they were the agents to bring the Karban. They brought, number one, Olos. And number two, they brought what's called Zvachim Shlamim, right? We have two categories here of Karbanos that are mentioned by the Torah. One is called the Karban Ola, the other is called the Karban Shlamim. What's the difference between an Ola and a Shlamim?
Ola is burned completely.
Right, what's that called in Hebrew? I'm just testing you on the Hebrew. Starts with a Chaf, four letters, ends with a Lamed, so I've given you 2 out of 4. Can you add the 2 letters in the middle? Lamed Yud, so you have Chaf, Lamed Yud, Lamed. What's that called? Khalil. What does Khalil mean? Completely burnt on the Mizbeach. So nobody eats, nobody, not Kohanim, not Kohen Gadol, nobody eats part of the Karban Ola. That's not true in the case of a Shlamim. The Shlamim, the meat of the Karban. You have to know which parts of the Karban, but those parts are divvied up between the Kohen and the Yisrael. Even though he's a non-Kohen, he's allowed to partake of Shlamim. So which of these two karbanos, if I could use this term, is more spiritual? And the choice between Ola and Shlamim. The Ola is more spiritual because it goes completely up to Shamayim, if you follow what I mean. Man doesn't partake and benefit at all from a Karban Ola. He benefits from a Karban Shlamim, leaving out the gout.
The high is going to Kohanim, right?
Say it again?
The high.
The hides, yeah, the hides of the Oros of Ola do go to the Kohanim, but it's still considered, as far as Hilchos Basar and Aktorah and Evarim, it's called Kolil. The Torah itself uses that term over and over again, that an Ola is Kolil al Gabi Mizbeah. In fact, let me ask you a question. Again, I'm just testing you if you're learning Daf Yomi in Zvachim. How many people here are learning Zvachim? Only 2, 3. Two and a half. So let's say, for example, Reuven brings to the Kohen a Karban Ola, and Shimon brings a Karban Shlamim. Which one of those two is the Kohen going to bring first? There's only one Kohen, correct? He's going to bring the Ola first, right? Because the Ola has a special Kedusha, it's Kulei Kohen. In any event, let's try to look now at this article, which is written. Yeah.
You helped me put together the second part of what you just said. A pasuk. First part is the reminder is to the preparation for Sinai, because we were there 2 days earlier.
Right, excellent, excellent.
We were taking our mikvah and everything else. And you said this is a spiritual thing, therefore the reich smell, which was starting at that point, that's where Hashem sees that we're making the effort to come closer. So he's already saying, good, you've just like you started the mitzvah, which you might not finish, you're getting credit, I smell it, this is good. Get the pasuk chet. When you finish the mitzvah, now Hashem smells it completely, and you get the credit for finishing the mitzvah.
Well, everything you say is fantastic. Rav, the Sfarno is going to claim that post pasuk vav, meaning from pasuk Zion and on, which is the Nesachim, that took place forever and ever. Notice that wasn't at Har Sinai. What the Torah is doing in pasuk vav is it's giving us a kind of, how would you call it, a bookend, so to speak, a closure. And as far as Har Sinai is concerned, even though that's only a historical point, it's not relevant today anymore, the Olas Tomid HaSuya Bar Sinai would complete itself with what, again? What are the two elements? Let's review it.
Wine.
No, we're not up to wine yet. The Torah hasn't spoken, hasn't whispered a word about wine. So what do we have so far? As far as the Talmud of Har Sinai, we only have two elements. We have the lamb, and then we have the mincha. And that's enough to achieve Reach Nichoach. Where and when? On the 4th of Sivan, before Kabbalah Satorah. But what we haven't answered is the following question, because from Pasuk Zion and on, we're no longer in that historical period between the 4th of Sivan and the 6th of Sivan when they accepted the Torah. We're now talking about all the generations for all of eternity, because Mitzvah she bought a Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, then we're going to have again a Tomid Shel Shachar and a Tomid Shel Bein Abayim. In that context, we need another element into the Avodah, namely what? The Nesachim, and then we're going to achieve the Reach Nichoach of the Nesachim. So now the question is, based on your thesis, I always forget your first name, I'm sorry. Shlomo, right? So Shlomo is saying, and I'm 100% with him on this, that the Ola of Har Sinai was a spiritual experience, and it was very, you know, it was very profound as a preparation, a preliminary for Kabbalah Satorah. I'm just asking one other question here, and that is, why is it that Har Sinai, they brought the Ola with the Mincha, but without the Nesachim? You know, you would think that the Nesachim, the Niskayayim, you know, would enhance the spiritual experience of preparation for Har Sinai. In other words,
everybody would stay straight. They were taking mikvahs, they were separated from their wives, just like the Kohen Gadol doesn't drink.
You're on the right track, but the only problem is nobody drinks from the Niskayayim. They get poured on the Mizbeach. Right. So
my question is,
I feel myself playing an important role here as the defense attorney for the Sfarno. Again, the Sfarno was one of the great commentaries on the Torah. What I'd like to do with you at this point, only if you're all on board, is to study the insights of the Sfarno and see if he fits into our understanding and how he puts the piece of the puzzle together.
I have a question. Where in the desert they had the yayin and
Mark goes through all the miracles that they had, where they get the behemoths from, where they get the yayin, and how do they grow things in the Beis HaMikdash. Do you have any idea where, you know, if I want to know what sugya or what Masecht and Shas would be the key to understand how they had, you know, the ability to grow things in the Midbar? Does anybody guess which Masecht and Shas that would be?
Well, it's Shas.
It's in Masecht and Shabbos. Why is it Masecht and Shabbos? Because all the Malachos, which the first 11, which is called Sidur Depas, the first 11 out of 39, are all dealing with that which grows from the ground. So the Gemara in Shabbos wants to understand, we derive the 39 malachas from what? From Mishkan. So we're talking about the Midbar, the 40 years they were in the wilderness. So the Gemara is going to ask the following question. You're talking about deriving 11 malachas out of the 39, that's a big chunk, from that which grew from the ground, that's produce, and very subtle and complex halachas that we derive from the menachos and all the other things that grew from the ground. The Gemara asks, how did they do this? Where did they find where did they find fertile land in the arid wilderness? So I'm going to ask you to go through the sugya in Shabbos. But what I want to do now, again, only because I have vested interest here, to try to get some insight into the way these karbanos were brought. So with your rishus, again, I could be democratic, we could take a vote, but at the end of the day, I'm going to decide anyway. So it's not very democratic. Every year when we were in Rav Soloveitchik's class, at the end of the year, we would take a vote in the yeshiva. We were about 100 guys in the shiur as to what mesechta we would learn next year. Whatever we decided, we knew only one thing. That's not going to be the mesechta that we're going to learn next year. That was the only thing we knew after we took the vote. So in the first paragraph here, you'll see that the Sfarno is going to build a lot of his thesis on a concept called Karban Tzibur. So let's say just a few words about that. There are two categories of Karbanos. One is called a Karban Yachid, that's an individual Karban. A prime example of a Karban Yachid would be something called a nidvas ola, meaning I can take upon myself a nidav or neder, whatever you call it, to bring a carbon ola to the mizbeach. That's a yachid, right? And if the tzibur, as a tzibur, wants to bring a carbon ola, there's no way they can do so, because there's no such thing as a voluntary carbon ola on behalf of the tzibur. There's only a voluntary carbon ola on behalf of the yachid. And then there's something called the carbon tzibur. Now here's where shlamim is different than ola. And if I go too fast, stop me, slow me down. In the case of Shlomim, we have such a thing as a Karban Tzibur. Does anybody know on what calendar date of the year, what holiday we bring Shlomim as a Karban Tzibur? No, you're close. You're about 49 days off, guys. On Shavuos, right. 50 days off, right. On Chag HaShavuos, that's the only time that we bring a Karban Shlomim as a Karban Tzibur. And we have one case that we know of a Karban Ola that's brought by the Tzibur, but then it's obligatory, it's not voluntary, and that's called the Tamid. The Karban Tamid, which is brought twice a day, 365 days a year, that's a case of a Karban Tzibur, but it's an Ola. So again, Shlomim, in the context of Tzibur, loses out to Ola. It's dwarfed by Ola, because Ola is a daily Karban Tzibur, albeit a Chova, and it's twice a day. And the Tzibur is going to bring a Karban Tamid.
Can I ask a question?
Just to finish my sentence, but in the case of Shlomim, the Tzibur will only bring a Karban Shlomim once a year on Chag HaShavuos.
Yeah. But yesterday, in our shiur, we learned that Chatas has preference over an Ola. So why using the same?
Interesting. The Gemara in a parak called Kol HaTadir, right? I don't remember what number it is. Maybe it's number 10. Is going to raise this question: how can you tell me that a Chatas takes precedence over a Shlomim, for example? A Chatas is basically a carbon that cannot count binidov. So you can't gather together the tzibur and say we're going to bring a voluntary carbon chatas. Shlomim, on the other hand, has very unique elements. That Shlomim is going to be a carbon which l'chora the tzibur could bring as a tzibur on a voluntary basis. And the Gemara is going to try to make a calculation, but I don't want to get into it now. Which is greater, Shlomim or Chatas? And the Gemara is going to say that Chatas, since it has the power of Kapara for a Kares, an Isur Kares, that puts Chatas on the highest level. It's even greater than Shlomim, even though there are many aspects of Shlomim that make Shlomim a very unique Karma. Now, Parshas Pinchas, in the laws of Karbanos, is famous for something else. Does anybody know? I mean, I chose one unit which has, I think, 8 psukim in it. But you know, half of Parshas Pinchas is dedicated to a different kind of carbon. What's that called? You'll see it here on page 411 if you have your
all the carbonot.
Which carbonot? Not all the carbonot.
The holidays.
Excellent. That's called what? In one word, four letters. It starts with a mem, ends with a pei sofit. It has a vav in it, and a samach in it. I see I'm not doing too well. That's called a carbon musaf. Correct? So if I want to know where in the Torah, which parsha in the Torah should I find the carbonos musaf of Shabbos and Moadim and so on, it's right here in Parshas Pinchas. So it's really interesting because there's another parsha of Moadim in the Torah. Which parsha is that? Which is the main parsha in the Torah of Moadim? Not Pinchas. Again, should I try to give it to you here? It starts with an Aleph, four letters, and it ends with a Resh. Still not doing too well. It has a Mem in it and a Vav in it. Anybody know which parsha I have in mind?
Emor.
Excellent. The parsha of the Moedim is in Emor. All the mitzvahs that apply to Yontif are all in Parshas Emor, which means that I have to take a lulav and I have to eat matzah. It's all in Parshas Emor, correct? However, in Parshas Emor, any mention of Karbonos Musafim, of the Musaf Karbon, is sort of tafel. It means the Torah says maybe one word over there. The main thrust of what Parshas Emor is all about is Kol Meleches Avodah Lo Sasu, that on these holidays we have to refrain from molacha. Any mention of a karbon, meaning a special karbon, which is called a Musaf Karbon of Yontif, is tafel. In Parshas Pinchas, the exact reverse is the case. Meaning the main primary subject matter of Parshas Pinchas, as far as the Moedim is concerned, are the Karbanos Musafim that are generated by the Kedusha Sayom. As a sort of a side point, meaning as a secondary, there's a little byline, a little mention here of the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah on sukkahs, the mitzvah of achilas matz, but that's not the primary focus of Parshas Pinchas. Now, if you take a look on your first page of the handout that I gave you, you'll notice the main paragraph, which is the second paragraph on your page. And that's where he quotes the Sefarno. The Sefarno understands that the Karban Tamid, in terms of Torah Shebichsav, meaning the way the Torah presents the Karban Tamid, which is again a Karban Ola that's brought twice a day on behalf of the Tzibur, we find something totally unusual. He calls it a tofa'a nidira, which is a Hebrew way of saying a very rare kind of phenomenon. And that is that first we read in the pasuk es hakeves echa taseh baboker, and then the Torah goes on to say that keves has to be accompanied by asiris ha'efa solas lemincha blula b'shemen. We assume that the next pasuk is going to say v'nisko revias ahin yayin, that it's going to tell me about niske yayin. In other words, the two accompaniments to the karbon olav, the karbon tamid, would be number one mincha, and number two nisachim. And instead, as we said at the outset of our discussion, the Torah wedges in here a pasuk that separates the mincha from the nesach, and gives us some sort of historical note that Olas Tamid Asuya Bar Sinai. In other words, that what we've been studying now, to our surprise, is not the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar for all generations, but rather the Karban Tamid that was brought at the time of Har Sinai, Asuya Bar Sinai, which consists of two elements. Number one, the Ola itself, the Keves itself, and number two, the mincha has no element of niske yayin. And that's a reference, he says at the end of this paragraph, to the end of Parshas Mishpatim, of Vayalu Olos. And what's Vayalu Olos? That on that calendar date, the 4th of Sivan, they brought Karban Olos, which consisted of the keves and then the mincha. But no nisachim were brought. Now, according to the Sfarno, that situation, which meant that there was no nesachim that would accompany the Karban Olo, called the Karban Tamid, is a historical phenomenon that existed until one point in history. So again, it started on the 4th of Sivan. When did it terminate? What's the month that comes after Sivan?
Tammuz.
And which is the main date in the month of Tammuz, if you have to isolate one date?
Sure.
The 17th of Tammuz. From the 4th of Sivan until the 17th of Tammuz, that's about, 6 weeks, if I'm just rounding it off? For those 6 weeks, the Karban Tamid, which is called Asuya Bar Sinai, did not have the third element, namely Nizke Yayin. What happened on the 17th of Tammuz that from now until all of eternity, we need a third accompaniment, meaning a second accompaniment, but a third element in the Karban Tamid, namely Nizke Yayin? What happened on the 17th of Tammuz that everything changed? We'll get to the spies later. That's on the 9th of Av. But now we're talking about the 17th of Tammuz.
They started their trip on the 17th.
Well, again, but there was a terrible, catastrophic criminal act that took place, probably the greatest crime of all Jewish history. Namely what? The Egel. The Egel was worshipped on the 17th of Tammuz. And according to the Sfarno, something radical change took place as a result of the Chet HaEgel, and it introduced a third condition to every carbon ol, every carbon tamid, namely what? Nizke Yayin. So the Nizke Yayin were introduced as a critical element in the carbon tamid from the Chet HaEgel and onwards.
Rabbi, was Yayin used in the Maaseh HaEgel? And now they wanted to get
a I never heard of such a thing. You know,
I don't know.
I don't know. I never heard of such a thing.
Purpose.
You know, it could be that there is such a thing. I plead the fifth. I never heard the role of Yayin. But in any event, he writes the following: that according to the Sfarno, take a look at the bottom of your page, going on to the next page. The Chumash is telling us not something historical, but something about the perfection of the Karban. It's telling me the following: that in the ideal world, if not for something that's going to, you know, deviate from the original plan, if you follow me, but in the ideal plan, the way it was created, the Olas Tamid, in the perfect ideal world, was the Olas Tamid from the 4th of Sivan until the 17th of Tammuz, which did not have what? Nizke Yayin. And on that, which we call a perfection, for that period of time without the Nizke Yayin, the Torah says, Reach Nichoach Lashem. Mm-hmm. From Pasuk Zayin and on, the Torah is saying that, you know what? On the 17th of Tammuz, the entire history was, is there a word, derailed? Can we use that word?
Absolutely.
Great. The word is derailed, because my wife always accused me of making up new words in English. Okay. So the history was derailed, and now when we worship Nebuch the Egel, now the Shlemus of the Karban, in the case of Tom, could only be achieved with what?
Yayin.
What's the third? With Yayin, Nizke Yayin. And that's why the Torah says the Sfar has to repeat what? In Pasuk Ches? How does the Torah express this concept that the completion of the Karban post 17th of Tammuz?
The second Reach.
Excellent. Because in Pasuk Ches, the Torah is going to repeat Reach Nichoach. Says the Sfarno, why does the Torah repeat Reach Nichoach? Because the Torah wants to tell you that in the post Chet HaEgel era, the completion of the Karban, which is reflected by the words Reach Nichoach, could only be achieved if you add the Nizke Yayin. So therefore, the Torah wedges in between Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Zayin the Olas Tamid Asuya Bar Sinai Reach Nichoach Lashem to tell you that in the ideal world of Karban Toda, of Karban Ola, all you need is to accompany the Karban by bringing what? The Mincha. No need for Nizke Yayin. But when we get to Pasuk Zayin and we're talking about post Shivasa Batamas, meaning post Chet HaEgel, now we have to add another element into the equation. So it's not that the Torah is just repeating Reach Nichoch Lashem for the fun of it. You know, the Torah doesn't just repeat things when they're unnecessary. But rather, the Torah wants to tell us that in order to be mashlim and complete a perfect karbon, in this case the karbon ola, the karbon tamid, now that we're in the post Chet HaEgel era, we need and we cannot achieve Shlemus, which means Reach Nichoch, without the Nisachim. Whereas before the Chet HaEgel, we could have achieved the Reach Nichoach without the Nisachim. So far, so good.
Does he give a reason for that?
Well, that's what this essay is all about.
Okay.
But I just wanted to show you first the beautiful analysis of the Psukim here. And again, I have to tell you, Rabbi, this is all brand new to me. You know, I recite this every single day, and I never paid attention to anything that I'm telling you now. Only the Sfarno in his greatness was able to point this out and show us that there was a critical date in Jewish history when everything got derailed, as I said before. And therefore, when it says, V'yesa keves ha-sheni taseh ben harbayim, which is Pasuk Ches, the Pasuk concludes by saying, K'minchas ha-bok k'niskol taseh, Reach Nichoch Lashem. What's the emphasis here? Kinisko. And what does kinisko mean? Not like the situation in Pasuk Hey, which was minus what? Absent was the Nesach. Now that we're in the post Chet HaEgel period, now kinisko, and then it's Ishe Reach Nichoch Lashem. We
what's
need.
Nisko
is the Nesach. That's what do you call it, Don? The libations, we call it? The libations. Okay. So according to the Sfarno, and you'll see this in the second paragraph on your second page, which is a short paragraph, he says, when I say second page, I mean on the left side of your first page, because I was able to squeeze two pages and be stingy on paper. So the Sfarno says, Kodem HaEgel, that when the Torah says in Pasuk Hey here in Parshas Pinchas, Olas Tovid Asuya Bar Sinai, what does Har Sinai mean? Before the Egel, that's the significance of Har Sinai. Lo haisa tzricha l'nesachim. There was no need for nesachim. An amazing chiddush of the Sfarno. Okay. So now we're going to ask the following question. The Sfarno makes a comment back in Parsha Shlach. Okay? Parsha Shlach is also in Sefer Bamidbar, but we're talking about Perek Tesvav. Pinchas, what's relevant to us today, is Perek Chof Ches. But if you turn the pages back to Perek Tesvav in Parsha Shlach, and what terrible catastrophe takes place in Parsha Shlach, Shlomo?
The spies,
the Chet HaMeraglim. So there, listen to the comment to the Sfarno, because we have to integrate both Sfarnos. Back in Parsha Shlach, he writes the following, Hine Ad HaEgel, up until the time of the Egel, which was on the 17th of Tammuz, Hoya HaKorban Reach Nichoach Bezulas Nisachim. We didn't need the Nisachim. And he says, Ke'inyan, I'll quote to you many Karbonos that were brought before the 17th of Tammuz on that year. For example, Hevel brought a Karbon. You remember the Karbon of Hevel? Then there was a Karbon of Noach. There was a Karbon of Avram Avinu. And he says all those karbonos had the same status as the carbon at the end of Mishpatim, at the time of the fourth of Sivan, the time of Kabbalah Sator, where it says Vayishlach es narei bnei Yisro vayalu olos. And he says that those carbon olos were the prototypal, you know, paradigmic olos which did not require nisachim, because they were similar to all the karbonos of Hevel and Noach and Avram, etc., that were brought before the Chet HaEgel. Ubechet of the Egel, Hitzrich, we needed to add to the Mincha Nisachim, Liola Satomim. And why is that so? Because it's a karbon tzibur. So here's the deal. According to the Sfarno, in Parshas Shlach, what takes place at the time of the Chet HaEgel on the 17th of Tammuz is that there's a requirement to add Nisachim for which kind of karbon? Again, what's the subject here in Parshas Pinchas? What category of karbon are we talking about? A karbon tzibur. Correct? Because we're talking about the daily tumin. That's not an obligation incumbent on me. It's an obligation incumbent on the tzibur. But what happens on the 9th of Av with the chet of the Meraglim, says the Sfarno, Hitzrich mincha unesachim lekarban yachid, lahachshir karban yachid. Wow, this is now, the plot grows thicker. The story becomes very complicated. We now have three different historical periods as far as karbanos are concerned, specifically a karban ola, and specifically as far as the requirement of nesachim. From the dawn of history up until the 17th of Tammuz, there was no need at all for the Nesachim of Yayin. Okay? From the 17th of Tammuz and on, with the violation of the terrible sin of the Chet HaEgel, there's a need for Nesachim, but only with regard to which Karbanos? Only an Ola that's brought by the Tzibur. Then we fast forward 3 weeks in time to the 9th of Av and the Chet of the Meraglim. From the Chet of the Meraglim on, there's going to be an additional requirement of Nesachim, of Niskayayim. And that's going to be a precondition, a critical requirement, not only in an Olas HaTzibur, but even in what? An Olas HaYachid. So for example, if I voluntarily take it upon myself as an individual to bring what's called an Olas Nedava, would I have to bring it with Nesachim or not? And what's the answer? I mean, when I say I don't mean I. Leave out the I, because that's what's going to throw you off and give me the wrong answer to my question. What I mean is A, not I. A person, right? So a person wants to bring an Olas Nedava. Does he have to bring it with Nesachim or not? And what's the answer? Was it before Tisha B'Av or after Tisha B'Av? If it was before Tisha B'Av, I mean the original Tisha B'Av, then he would have no need as a Yachid to accompany his Karba Mincha as a voluntary Mincha with Nesachim. But if it was after Tisha B'Av, then even as a Yachid, his Karban Ola would be dependent upon what? Nesachim. So again, if the Tzibur is bringing a Karban Tamid, an Olas Tamid on a daily basis, in that period of time before Tisha B'Av, they would require what? Nesachim. And that's what we see here in Parashas Pinchas. If the Yachid would be bringing his own individual voluntary Karban Ola, then if it was past Tisha B'Av, meaning after the Chet of the Meraglim, then he would have to accompany it with what? With Nesachim. So the Tosefes of Nesachim, which is written at the end of Parsha Tetzava, according to the Sfarno, would have taken place when? Because in Parshas Tetzava, we're talking about an Olas Yachid. The Olas Tzibur is only here in Parshas Pinchas. So if we turn back the clock to Tetzava in Sefer Shmos, and the Torah is going to require Niske Yayin in Parshas Tetzava, then according to the Sfarno, it's going to have to be historically when?
After the
Chet HaMeraglim, correct? So he says the following, HaTosefes Shel Nesachim in Parshas Tetzaveh is L'shitas Rabbeinu. Okay, we're going to have to open up the Chumash here. Let's just read the Pasuk. Again, if anybody wants to tell me what page it's on, it's Shmos Chavtes, the 29th chapter of Shmos, and we're opening up to verse 39. Should I write that on the board? No? No need? So it says there, Sakeves Achot Haseva Boker.
All right, Chavtes, which...
In
Hebrew, which...
Great. Lamites. Okay? Lamites and Mem. Those two, the unit over there. Esakeves Achot Haseva Boker. Vesakeves Asherit Haseva Ben Arbayim. Visaron Soles. Bolo B'Shemin Kosis. Revahin. V'nesach. V'nesach Revius Ahin Yayin. L'keves Ha'efat. So Ravosai, what's mentioned here in Parshas Tetzava? This is a carbon tzibur of the Tamid.
Nesach
is also. When would that have, in terms of our clock, our calendar, according to the Sfarno, when would that have taken place?
After
the Chet HaEgel, after the Shivasa V'Tamid. So again, we're talking about a tzibur, a carbon tzibur. So I may have made a mistake before. I said Yochid. I'm sorry. I apologize. Just remove that. So we're talking about a korban tzibur, we're talking about a korban ola, we're talking about a tamid, and we're talking about requiring nisachim at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, which is in Chumash Shmos Perek of Tes. Historically then, when would that have had to have taken place? No, after Shavuos v'Tammuz. Again, we talk about a korban tzibur.
Tzibur's.
So a korban tzibur of an ola needs the nisachim after Yud Zayin v'Tammuz. What took place on Yud Zayin v'Tammuz? Chet ha'egel.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Where is Chet ha'egel in the Torah last time I looked? Anybody remember which parash it's in?
Kitisak.
Which comes first? Tetzav or Kitisak?
Well, in the order of the Torah.
Oh, okay, you're a step ahead of me. But I'm just saying, don't give away all my secrets here, but in terms of the Seder HaParshios, which comes first, Tetzaveh or Kitisa?
Since you're asking the question, say Tetzaveh.
Yeah. Just one second, I got myself confused here.
Kitisa,
just one second.
Is the one afterwards.
Yeah, can you look that up for me, just to make sure I don't want to make a mistake here?
Kitisa is the parsha after...
After Tetzaveh.
Yeah.
But wait a minute.
Two.
Is that true?
Yes.
Again, I don't care whether it's one or two, you know, say. Don't get caught up with too many details here. What you have to know is, in Seder HaParshios, in Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Torah describes the Olas HaTzibur as requiring the Sachim, and yet it's only later in Sefer Shmos that the Torah records the great tragedy of that 17th of Tammuz, namely the Chet HaEgel. According to the Sfarno, there's something fluky here. Because at what point in time did we need the Nesach? Only after which Chet HaEgel, which is recorded by the Torah Parshas Ki Tisa. So why then does the Torah in Parshas Tetzaveh record the requirement of Nesach for the Olas HaTzibur?
Jesus.
What's the answer, Gershon?
The Torah doesn't...
What's that called? I'm always pressing on the Hebrew. Ein muktam u'mucha b'Torah. This is a gigantic machlokas between the Ramban on the one end and Rashi, and now we're going to add Sfarno on the other end. Again, Rashi and Sfarno were 6 centuries apart, but in any event, both Ramban and many others say that what we have in Parshas Tetzaveh took place before the Chet HaEgel. But Rashi says, Ein mukta mucha b'Torah. We can now align Rashi with the Sfarno, because the Sfarno, by definition, is committed to Ein mukta mucha b'Torah. You can't take the sequence of the Parshas literally in historical, chronological sequence, because you're going to be in deep trouble, because the Sfarno is committed to the position that when do we add Nesachim to the Karban Mincha Shel Tzibur? To the Karban Tamid Shel Tzibur, that's only after what? Chet HaEgel. And yet the Parsha in Tetzaveh over there in Chof Tes requires Nesachim. So the answer must be that the Sfarno, like Rashi way before him, is going to implement the rule of Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah. Who's allergic to that rule? The Ramban is absolutely allergic to that rule. Over and over and over again, whenever Rashi flexes his muscle of Ein Mukta Mukha Torah without even opening the Ramban, I can promise you that the Ramban is going to argue against Rashi. So in the last paragraph on the left side, he says the following, Kidei Levira Shitas HaSfarno, in this basic sugya, he says, we have to pay attention to the fact that the Sfarno in Parsha Shlach, which is the 15th chapter of Sefer Bamidbar, says the following, Ubechetam Bo'egel, this is going back to the 17th of Tammuz, Hitzrich Mincho Nesachim Li'olas HaTomit SheYikarban Tzibur. Now it's this chidush that the Karban Ola, meaning the Tamid, which is a Karban Tzibur, requires Nesachim. That chidush takes place after the Chet HaEgel, but only vis-a-vis a Karban Tzibur. But a Karban Tamid, which was brought after the Chet HaEgel, requires a Nesachim, the accompaniment of the Sniska Yayin, because it's a Karban Tzibur. However, that's only true between the 6th of Sivan and the 17th of Tammuz. Okay, so in that period of time, we add a new requirement for a Karban Tzibur, and that's Nesachim. However, and this you turn to the next page, as far as a Karban Yachid is concerned, that requirement of Nisachim comes much later, not that much later, but 3 weeks later, on the 9th of Av, with the sin of the Meragim. So to summarize the view of the Sfarno, we'll see a paragraph that starts with the word Hare, and he divides up the Karbanos into three categories. Category number one is all the Karbanos that were brought before the Chet HaEgel. And in such a case, whether it's a Karban Yachid, brought by Hevel, brought by Noach, brought by Avram, or alternatively, if it's a Karban Tzibur, which is brought at the time of Harsina on the 4th of Sivan, by Nari Bnei Yisrael, there was no Nisachim. Okay? In other words, the Nedava of a Yachid, or the Karban of a Tzibur, all can achieve Reach Nichach, minus even in the absence of Nisachim. Number two, we get to the period of time between Matan Torah and Chet HaEgel. Just 1 second. Okay, it gets more complicated. Okay, this part we didn't get into. But in any event, up to the Chet HaEgel, there's no requirement of Nisachim, neither for the Yachid or the Tzibur. After Chet HaEgel, we get to the point, 17th of Tammuz and onwards, a Karban Tzibur is going to require not only Mincha, but also Nisachim, in the case of an Ola, in the case of a Tamid. And finally, we get to the last period of time, which is after the Chet HaMeraglim on the 9th of Av, and there even a Yachid is not going to be able to bring his voluntary Karban Mincha unless it's accompanied by both Mincha and Nisachim. That's the overview and the final presentation of the Sfarno. And now from this point and on, how many other pages do you have? You should have about 4 pages left, something like that. From this point and on is an analysis of why these changes took place. Why these three stages, and why Reach Nichoach at one stage can drop the requirement of a Niske Yayin, and why at another stage, at least for the Tzibur, we cannot achieve Reach Nichoach without the Niske Yayin. For the Yochid at a third stage, we can't achieve Reach Nichoach without the Niske Yayin. And he says the following. Again, we're not going to have time to finish this. I apologize already at the outset. There's just I began to prepare this and I realized this is too massive, and I was thinking, should I drop it? But I think we've gotten a lot. Again, we're still missing some very important fine tuning here. And he says the following, that we have to classify Karbanos in the following, can I use the word strata? Mm-hmm. If you follow what I mean, like a pyramid. He says the following. There are Karbanos which are relatively kal. Kal means easier, so to speak. Kal with a kuf. And it's easier, therefore, to achieve the purpose of the Karban, which is always the same. Namely what? Reach Nichoach. And then there are Karbanos which are much more chamur. They're not kal, but they're more intense. And the more intense you get, he says, let me just find the relevant line here so we can maybe underline it and highlight it. He says, second, I'm sorry, I'm in such pressure here because of the clock. My brain is not, he says, he says the following. There are two variables that are going to play a major role, each one respectively in its own way, to determine where we are on this pyramid. If you follow what I mean, or this stratization, if there's such a word. One element is going to be voluntary versus obligatory. The other element is going to be communal versus individual. So he's going to say the following. And this is in the paragraph, you want to underline it, that starts with the word Besugya Zos. And he says the following. what determines and generates the hishtanus of Torah sakarbonos, meaning the changes and the more specific and expanded requirements and conditions for a korban. He says the following: to the extent in which it's a korban nedava, it's just a voluntary korban, he says that makes it a lot easier, that's a light korban relative, to achieve reach nichach. We don't have to impose all that many conditions on the korban nedava. So for example, you remember we spoke about Hevel, Noach, Avram, and the korbanos that were brought at the time, on the 4th of Sivan, at the time of Kabbalah Sator, all those were voluntary korbanos. So if they're voluntary korbanos, are we going to add strictures, or are we going to lighten the burden and make it easier for a nedava, for a voluntary korban? Excellent, lighten the korban. So we're going to see that the more we enter into the element of chova, of obligatory korbanos, the korban becomes that much heavier, so to speak, and it becomes that much more difficult to reach the level of reach nichach. Point number two, a second variable that comes to place, and that is the difference between a korban yochid and a korban tzibur. The korban tzibur, relative to the korban yochid, and that applies even if the tzibur is volunteering for the korban, that's going to make it a heavier korban, and therefore we're going to demand more restrictions and more requirements in order to achieve reach nichach in the case of the tzibur than we would in the case of a yochid. So again, if you combine nedava and yochid, you're going to end up with the lightest korban, if you will, a korban kal, which means that relative to other korbanos that are obligatory or might be communal korbanos, we can drop a lot of the requirements. So again, if we go back earlier in history, when we're talking about a yochid and we're talking about a nedava, we're going to be able to drop the requirements. It's going to be a lot easier to achieve our goal of what? Reach nichach. However, once we intensify the korban and it gets to the level of a korban tzibur, then already we're going to upgrade the requirements, because that already makes it into a korban chamur, not a korban kal, and new restrictions and conditions are going to be imposed. So I'm both saying, what happens if I add the following two variables? It's number one, a korban chova, it's not an adova. Number two, it's a korban tzibur, not a korban yachid. That's going to be the shpitz, that's going to be the apex of a korban chamur, and therefore the requirements are going to be that much more demanding. So for example, if we were to talk about an olas tamid shel tzibur, right, the daily korban tamid, which is codified here in Parshas Pinchas, then after Har Sinai, we're going to get a much more intense requirement. So for example, the Nesachim are going to be critical when we get to the post-Har Sinai period of time, because now we're talking about both elements. Number one, it's a korban chova. At the time of Har Sinai, it was considered a korban nedava. Number two, to boot, it's a korban tzibur, which the entire tzibur has to bring on a daily basis. So all of a sudden, yayin, which means nesachim, becomes an element that we have to introduce as a critical condition in the korban. He says, with regard to a middle of the road, let's say, for example, talk about a tzibur, but it's a voluntary korban, that's going to be the middle stage. There we're going to require a tosefes, a new requirement of mincha, but we're not going to require nesachim. But then when we get to the point that it's not only a korban tzibur, but it's also a korban chov of the tzibur, then, and that's what our pasuk ches here formulates the requirement in order to achieve reach nichach of the additional element of yayin. Now basically, the balance of this essay is to try to explain which korbanos, as you said before, Shlomo, are more spiritual and therefore are easier to achieve reach nichach. They're almost purely spiritual. Which have a certain element of physicality or materiality to them that makes them a more difficult process or ritual to achieve reach nichach. And he's going to try to work in these two variables of yochid versus tzibur, of nedava versus chova, into the fabric of Karbonos to try to set up this stratization, as we called it, of a carbon kal, meaning easier to achieve Reich Nichol because it's a more ruchani, a more spiritual carbon, as opposed to injecting these various variables of chova and tzibur, which makes them into karbonos that are much more difficult to achieve Reich Nichol, and therefore the Torah is going to impose new conditions. For example, the niskayayin that we spoke about, and how those niskayayin achieve the goal of reach nicholach once it becomes not a carbon kal but a carbon tzibur. So, if there's anyone who wants to continue this discussion, please let me know, and I would call your attention on the left page to a paragraph called Biyisod Hezber Advarim. Do you find that paragraph? So again, if you want to put an asterisk or a red... I have a red pen here somewhere. Here's a red pen. No. It's somewhere here on the table. And you want to check off the paragraph that starts, V'yisod Hezber Advarim. And this Yisod Hezber Advarim is going to come from the Ramban's commentary on Sefer Vayikra, in which the Ramban tries to understand what does it mean, Reach Nichoach Lashem. What do those words mean? What is the meaning of that? Of that terminology. So I've also at this point, again, even though we're only halfway through the Maimah, we're going to have to stop. And I'm going to wish you all a great day. If anyone's around tonight, I'm giving a class tonight at 7:30 on the Pele Yoetz. We're going to talk about what is truth, because the Pele Yoetz is a great Musa Sefer. And other than that, let me know if you want to continue in this essay. But again, next week's Parsha, which again he has something also on Parshas Matos, but nothing as great as this essay, which really breaks new ground in the understanding of Karbonos. But we have to move on because next week is Parshas Matos. So I don't know exactly where we would. Maybe we could add another class or something if anybody's interested. And tell me when you're free. My Gmail address is azariaberzon@gmail.com.
The whole thing raises a big question.
Yeah, if you don't mind, so just opening the door because I feel bad. I went overtime here and I sort of. Yeah, go ahead, Shlomo.
Your first question, which is answered, is why, if we're looking for a big smell, why not Bisamim instead of
right.
wine?
Right. I don't think that Reach Nichoach means an aroma in the physical
okay.
sense. That's
so,
you have to get to the Ramban.
Why wine? And here's a good answer for the wine that you made clear to me. Before Adam's sin, we had Kor Shemayim.
I walk around with a stack of Bibles.
We sinned.
You're a holy man.
All of creation
yeah.
trying to rectify that sin. When we got the Torah, it was rectified.
Oh, I see.
It was beautiful. However, when we did
it was like an audible cave.
We were there in the same place. We should have been the Israel right away, had the Mashiach, the whole business. We blew it. Therefore, on the 17th of Tammuz, when we blew it, they had to add wine to the offering. Why wine? Because at that point, the Torah as it was given became not enough, so we had to have sowed. Made clear. So being
we'll think about that and we'll see if we can integrate that into this, but if the fellows want to go on this, I have to know.